So now we're listening to the glories of Raj Mandal according to the Vaishnava Parampara as it has been glorified by the Parampara and by engaging in such Shravan Kirtan. One will get the Seva Adhikar in Nitya Vraj. By Sadhan Siddhi can be had. Vraja will not be attained. As long as the Priya Parikars of Vraj and their Leelas with Sri Bhagavan, as long as one doesn't listen to such glories and cannot remember such glories, then how can he hope to achieve Siddhi? Such remembrance should be eternal. Or else, how can we possibly control the mind? We try to control the mind for some time, but it's not possible. As long as the mind does not get this rasa, then it will always collect day and night the objects of the senses. Even the mind does not know what's collecting, it still it wants. Or anyhow desires anything that it wants. Engaging in the senses and collecting the objects, saying, "Help me." And sometimes the senses become very tired. Still the mind is very restless. It will keep wandering here and there. And without collecting the objects of the senses, the mind cannot be at peace. Therefore, mind is the cause of bondage and liberation. The mind is always collecting many impurities. You say the mind is to remember Bhagavad Lila Parikars, then by such influence the mind will no longer be restless. From Deham Ashritam, then by Bhagavan he appears the form of a human life form. With these Leelas of Bhagavan, if one listens the Shravan Kirtan of these Leelas, then certainly he will achieve the highest destination, which is Bhagavad Seva in a prakat approach. So therefore, Bhagavan he appears to bestow his compassion on the bhaktas. Anukrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritam. He is in a human-like form. Udham manushalingam. Yam niloka vatavuri bhako nano mayobhyanti. Guram param brahma manushalingam. That this Parabrahma, he has appeared in his human-like form. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narada Shri Yudhishthira, you just say, Bhagavan himself has appeared in your house and he has accepted you as his relatives. Even if he cannot have his darshan anywhere else, surely we can have his darshan in your house. He is always present with his bhaktas. No need to go to any temple or any tirtha. Just go to the houses of his devotees. That Bhagavan is always present. Why? They say, Katha, by remembering his Katha, by speaking his Katha, Bhagavan is realized in one's heart. In other places, then one may have some mundane understanding about Bhagavan, but by going to the residences of his bhaktas, then Bhagavan surely be had there. Therefore, at all times, Bhagavan's Leelas should be remembered. There is no better sadhana than this. Shravan and then Anukirtan. And then once one says Shravan Kirtan, then Smaran will certainly be here. Inevitably. Because if you want to engage the mind, then you have to engage it, make it relish the Leela Katharas, Sri Bhagavan. And the mind will not run here and there. It will be liberated. Then it will no longer be conditioned or collect the objects of the senses. Vanatham Thakur has written, Shaya Shadya Kavi Shuddha Pimon Kavya Mahira Bho Shri Vrindavan. Then leave aside this Vishay and make your mind pure, or else if you are engaged in thinking about Vishay, thinking what will happen, what is going to happen in the future. And the dog is thinking, I am carrying the entire bullock cart. And because the dog is thinking, if I stand still, then the bullock cart will no longer move. Why is the dog thinking this way? Because the dog is going underneath the bullock cart. So the dog is thinking, I am carrying this cart. But actually the bull is carrying it. So similarly, one person, he is like the dog. He thinks he is carrying everything. But Bhagavan is taking responsibility for everything. For everyone. Bhagavan himself has said, Nagishara Sarvabhutanam, that he is sure he is present in everyone's hearts. But the Jiva, how is he? He is like the Yantra. He is mounted on this body, which is like a vehicle. And so, Maya is doing everything, but he is thinking, I am doing everything. Or else he is thinking, who will take responsibility? If it's not for me, who will take responsibility? But who are you in the first place? You have taken responsibility only for certain days. Tomorrow, day after, if you may become an invalid, then who will take responsibility? Saying, oh, I have aged parents, I have children, I have to take responsibility for their lives. So Gurudev, he used to speak of one story. He used to say that Once one person, he used to go to the sadhu, and every day he'd speak katha to the sadhu. In this way, his mind became absorbed in bhajan, start putting tilak on. Mala, he was serving the sadhu. In this way, he would go, make the grihasthas happy. Because not disturb anyone. Or else if you disturb anyone, then how can you do sadhana? Then your mind will not be equipoised. So he'll also go to the sadhu. So one day, the sahi asked the sadhu that who is the well-wisher in this world? Who is your well-wisher? So he said, my wife, my children, they're my well-wishers. I have my parents, my brothers, all they are my relatives and well-wishers. And he said, alright. Now you go home and you see, they say your house has been made. Previously, if you go to the mountain, then these houses are made on stilts. Stilts means they're like large poles on which houses are erected to protect the houses from flooding and earthquake and all these things. They're made of stilts. So then he said, go there in between these stilts, these columns, and then you engage and become absorbed in samadhi. Make an asana and become absorbed in samadhi. Then you'll see who is most dear to you. because you are in this material world. So therefore, now you don't know who is your dear well-wisher while you are still in this material world. So then he went home, then he put the asana on. He sat there, and then slowly, gradually, this yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, dhyan, dharana, and then he becomes absorbed in samadhi. And then they say, the pillar was in between, and he put the asana, and he becomes absorbed in samadhi. And then everyone saw he's not even breathing. So I thought he was dead. So I didn't call his Guruji. He used to always go to the sadhu. Maybe the sadhu has done something to him. Now he has died prematurely. So I called Guruji. And Guruji came and he said, you see, I'll go into meditation. And then let me see if I can save him or not. And Gurudev went into meditation. And then he said, when he can be saved in one way. He said, who is most dear to him? Then he said, he's my son, the mother said. Father said, he's my son. The wife said, he's my husband. Children said, he's my father. The other said, he's my brother, he's my uncle, all these things. Elder brother, they said, they all start saying, we are most dear to him. And so they said, all right. So then the sadhu said, I can bring him back to life if someone gives his life or her life in exchange. You have so many people to give your life, and then if you give your life, then he can be revived, brought back to life. So any of you, just step forward and give your life. And I can bring him back to life then. By your life, I can bring him back. And when the father came, saying, he's your son, bring your life, he's your son. He said, how can I give my life? Oh, my wife is still alive. I have other children also. You see, I have my daughter-in-law. Who will look after them if I go? He said, okay, mother, you give. He's your son. You give your life in exchange. So she said, who will serve my husband if I give my life? And so many other sons. Who will look after them, the children? And he said, all right, the wife is most dear. The wife said, give your life. She said, I'm the only daughter of my father. So they say, if I also leave along with him, then my father will look after him. And I have small children who look after these children. Then the sadhu said, he asked the younger sister, he asked the children, no one agreed to give their life. Then they said, oh, Sadhu Maharaj, he's your disciple, so you give your life for him. Because you see, the disciple's life rests with his guru, so his life is with you. So you give your guru life, because you are all alone, you have no children, you have no wife, no family, so who's there for you? So give your life in exchange for his. And the sadhu said, all right, I'll give my life for him. And then he was absorbed in samadhi for so many times, and slowly he came back to consciousness. And then when he fell down on the floor. So then the Guruji said, all right, now he's dead. And then cut the pillar and bring him out. So then they said, if you break the pillars, then the house will fall. So no need to cut the pillars, rather we'll cut his body in half. Because he's already dead. So what difference does it make if we cut his body in two pieces? But if we cut the pillars of the house, then the house will collapse. And if the house collapses and breaks, then we'll look after the house. So we'll cut his body in two and we'll take him away. So say this person, he was in samadhi. And when he was listening to everything they were saying, and Guruji said, all right, I'll give my life for him. I'll save him. So Then Samadhi Guruji, he came, he brought back life and he said, now see, who is your near and dear one? Just see, all of them rejected you. You said they are all very dear to you, but just see how they have rejected you. You see, the pillars of this house, is more valuable to them than your life itself. They'd rather cut your body into pieces than breaking the pillars of this house. Then I brought back the life, and the sadhu said, I brought him back life, so I'll take him away from here and go. He's mine now. Then again they start shouting at the sadhu, oh sadhu, what are you doing? He's ours. You're breaking our house. Just now he's been brought back to life. Let him eat something. No, you go away from here now. Now he's my son. Now he's my husband. He's my father. Then Gurudev would say, just say. Once Madhvacharya, he went to preach. He's the root of all our acharyas. So when he obtained this form of Gopal, he could not be separated from Gopal for even one moment. Wherever he'd go preaching, he'd take Gopal with him and go. And then when he was going preaching, he had many disciples. So then once, he went to one place where the Muslims bury everyone. You see, the Muslims have very nice cemeteries. They have very nice gardens. There'll be nice wells, there are nice wells. They meet there, do namaz. So there's everything nicely there. Do Ramzan, they do everything. As they start doing archan for Gopal. And they say, everyone came, Kazi. They said, what are you doing? They said, what happened? Saying, you're also doing namaz. I'm also offering my pranams to Bhagawan. We're worshipping the same personality. See, this is a pure place. Why can't we do bhajan here? He said, no, the Bacha, his son has died. Just yesterday we dug a grave for him and we buried him. So that is Ru. His Ru means his soul. Soul should go to Swarga. Go to Jannat. So therefore we are very sad this boy is dead, so don't do anything here. Then Madhvacharya said, alright. And the Bacha also came. Then he said, oh Sadhu, we are very sad. Why? My son has died. And he said, alright. He said, alright, you dug him, now dig him up, dig his body up. Then they dug the grave and they brought the body out. Then said, get this boy out. Then they made the boy sit. Madhvacharya gave some chanamrit from Gopal. And he gave some mantra, diksha, and everything. Then he said, now, Madhvacharya said, I brought you back to life. Now who do you belong to? And he said, I belong to you. And he said, alright, now come with me. And Bacha said, oh Maharaj, he's my son. He said, give my son back. He said, just now you buried your son there. Now who is your son now? I brought him back to life. Here you don't let me do puja, kirtan, nothing. So you see, this Gopal, he brought this boy back to life. See, Gopal has come to deliver this boy. Gopal has brought me here to save this boy. This boy belongs to Gopal. So why did you bury him inside? And they asked the boy, who do you belong to? The boy said, I belong to my guru. These people, they killed me and they dug a grave and they put me inside. So I'm yours now, I'll stay with you. Then the king said, oh Maharaj, I'll give you as much gold as you want, equal to his weight. old silver ornaments, just give the son back. Madhacharya said, your son is buried there. This boy is Sevak of Gopal. The soul is eternal. Soul belongs to Bhagwan. As long as soul doesn't meet Bhagwan, and as long as soul doesn't receive his mercy, then he's always transmigrating in different species of lives. He has so many. This way his transmigration will continue. He won't be delivered. So now I've offered him at the feet of Sri Gopal. So I'm leaving now, and Gopal can do what he wants. This boy, he didn't listen to anyone. You know, they dragged him, they put him in the house. He said, will you bury me again? If I stay with all of you, then I stay with the demons, then just see my destination. You buried me. So no one can, none of you can save me. There's no one in this world who can save me. He said, Guruji has saved me. Engage me in Gopal's seva. They didn't let him go. Anyhow, he left home. So Madhacharya then left to speak Harikatha and other places. He was the king of all sannyasis. So he'd go everywhere to Katha Kirtan. And when they didn't let this boy go, and this boy, anyhow, like Raghunatha Das Goswami, he behaved like an ordinary boy. And then he was very silent. Silently he was weeping, saying, when can I leave home? Then he left home, and all the way he came to Udupi. He came all the way there. Parshuram performed his tapasya there. He went and hid in that cave. And then he would come to Adarshan Gopal from that cave. And when they saw that he was a Muslim, the pujaris didn't let him come inside. So all day and night he would be sitting on the streets, weeping behind the temple. A mantra had given this, Guru had given this mantra, he chanted this mantra. And Gopal, you see, his face was in that direction. But then just to give darshan to this Muslim boy, he broke the wall and then he gave darshan to this boy. So even now if you go to the have darshan of Bhagwan, then you'll see, just for this devotee, Bhagwan has turned his face to the other side. And this way, even the Bhagwan has been in that position since then. So when Madhacharya came, he saw the disciple between Guru and Shishu, between Bhagwan and the devotee. So see, the Purohit, the priest, he establishes a relationship. And Guru, what does he do? He establishes our relationship with Bhagwan. So who can possibly steal Bhagwan's property? Tulsidas said that if one is not dear, if one is opposed to Bhagwan's seva, then even if one is very dear, he should be given up. Just like how Prahlad gave up his father, and Bali gave up his guru, Sukracharya. Vibhishan gave up his brother, Ravan. Yagyapatnis gave up their husbands. So in this way, just by listening to these two lines, he left. Now who could stop him? No one could kill him. He tried to do so many things. So since then, the sevaks of Gopal Madhacharya, for the first time in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, he said, then one who is dear to Bhagwan, he will do seva. No consideration of caste and creed. So nearby there is a kunda, Khir Sagar. So the Brahmins, they used to bathe in this pond. This pond was very beautiful, like milk. But the pond had become dirty now. So Madhacharya, he told the boy, go and bathe in that pond and bring water for Gopal's Abhishek. No one let this boy bathe in the pond there. But then by the influence of Madhacharya, still the Brahmins, they're thinking, how can this boy come inside? Then Madhacharya, he said, because all of you have bathed in this Tirtha, the Tirtha has become pure because of your sins. Now this boy will bathe here in this Khir Sagar And as soon as this boy started bathing in the kunda and brought some water for Abhishek, then the water became so pure. So even now if you go, you see, even millions of people bathe there. Still the water is very beautiful and sweet tasting, like distilled water. And in the evening, Gopal every day, he goes on a boat in the pond. There's no kavihar. And then he takes some prasad, some food. And then every day they do Ratyatra and Udupi in the evening. And as long as he goes, and as long as one doesn't go to all the 8 temples to have darshan, he gives darshan to all the devotees from the 8 mutts. He meets with everyone every day. Then he accepts their bhoga and everything. And then he comes and rests. But when he rests, they say, Jagannath, he had this Priya Sevak, Salabeg. They didn't let Salabeg also go inside. Then Jagannath himself, he came running all the way down to give darshan to Salabeg. Then his name became Patit Pavan. And then Salabeg, he would sit there and do kirtan for Jagannath. In the end, when Salabeg left his body, then many months he stayed in one place. And day and night, he would not do kirtan. And Jagannath, his Patit Pavan, would give darshan there. But they won't give Jagannath Mahaprasad Namrata to Salabeg. And then Bhagavan Jagannath himself would bring everything for him and feed Salabeg. And when Salabeg left his body, they didn't take his body to Swargadwar. Rather, in front of his temple there, they gave him Samadhi. Even now, if you go there, Jagannath's chariot, you see, it stops there. And Jagannath's bow is always offered there. Why? Because he's dear devotee of Bhagavan. Bhagavan has accepted him. If a Gurudev would say, now one is staying in the temple for so many years, 60, 70 years, but he doesn't have prem for Bhagavan, doesn't have ruchi for bhakti, he has no faith in the sadhu, he does not have this feeling of gratitude towards Guru. But then one person who has just come yesterday, he has all good qualities and qualifications. Even if he doesn't have, still Bhagavan has accepted him. He has left this illusion of Maya, come to the ashram. So offer your pranams to him, respect him. Don't drag him, thinking, oh, he just came yesterday, who is he, let me torture him. Saying, you taunt him and trying to break his heart. Because even if one drop of his tear falls on the ground, then life after life, you will suffer in hell. Even if one tear falls, then you'll suffer in hell life after life. Why? Because Bhagavan has called him here to the temple. Or else who will come here to the temple? Who will come here? So if anyone comes here, don't disrespect him. Then Zavagyanada to Prabhu. Madhvacharya, then he spoke. And then the king found out his son was there. And the king, he bought all his wealth. He came there, saying, don't make my son sad, he's a prince. Since then, Udupi every day, they give prasad every day. 20,000 people eat prasad there every day, 20,000, 50,000. Everyone gets this prasad of Gopal. Wherever you go, they'll wash your hands, there'll be your plate, there'll be your glass, there'll be very nice prasad there. They'll serve you in all ways. So what did the king do? He gave his entire wealth there to Madhvacharya. And then he said, now I'm your sevak, you can take whatever you wish from me. And Madhvacharya took everything and threw it in the river. And he said, oh Maharaj, you see, you cannot buy Bhagavan by your wealth. You say, one, how can, if he is very wealthy, you think he can buy Bhagavan or buy a sadhu? Sadhu will become his. That, oh, let me give him as much money as I want and buy him, control him. But a sadhu is not greedy for such things. Wherever there is Bhagavat Prem, Bhagavan is only controlled by Prem. By seeing such Premi Bhaktas, the sadhus become very happy. Bhagavan's happiness is Guru's happiness. So Maharaj, you would say, that you say, don't criticize anyone. Chaitanya Bhava Nandas Thakuri has said, don't criticize anyone. When according to Sukriti Sanskar, he has come there. You see, then Maharaj would say that one person has come and like he's only 10 years old, but he's already done tapasya for 100 years. So they say he's already accepted him, Bhagavan. He has so much, so many impressions from his previous life. But you are like this old date tree. You have no proper fruits or flowers, although you've been for many, many years. But you see, the other person is come newly, he has all good qualities. So in this way, how can you identify a sadhu? One whose sansara is about to come to an end, his material existence is about to come to an end, who surrendered to Bhagavan, he will come. So Maharaj would say, by such katha, not just his instructions, but also how by less love one can do Bhagavatubhasan. So Maharaj, you would speak all these things. So yesterday we heard how Krishna is head was shaved. And then this big festival was arranged. And then Kargacharya came there. And then he said, oh Nanda, why did you disobey me? You didn't listen to me. So now your boy you'll be separated from your son now. As long as you wouldn't have done anything, then he would have been your son. But now that you made this nice ceremony for him, so now you will be separated from him. Therefore, in Braj, there's a rule. See, in Braj, there's no value to sanskars, purificatory rites. See, the sadhu santas come, you give madhukari to him. Saying, oh Baba, do some bhajan kirtan. Can you give some blessings to our son? But not that you make a big ceremony. And why? Without pleasing Prabhu, Priti, nothing can please him except this. So Kargacharya, then he told Nanda, and everyone became very sad. They became so sad. And meanwhile, Narada Shri, Brahmaji, Shri Thakur, all the Devi Devatas, Indra, Varun, Chandra, they all came and start praying, oh Prabhu, how long will you stay here in Braj? Play with your friends. Because the whole world is being tormented by these demons. So you've come to take away this burden of earth, Priti Devi. So will you just be here in Braj and not do anything else? Prabhu could have done everything in one moment. Well, just killing demons could have easily been done just by his desire. Gauraj Goswami has said that Krishna is Lila Purushottam. He never kills demons. Rather, he kills his demons through Vishnu. Bhagavan is Lila Purushottam. He doesn't think. Through Vishnu, he has all these demons killed. But, now what happened? So then Gargacharya is Brahmanya Devaya, so can you disobey him? His words. Therefore, you think first before you do anything. Or else, if once you've done something, then you get some fruit, then you'll suffer, then what is the use then? Of lamenting. So when he saw, then they became very sad. They didn't receive such a devotee either in Vaikuntha or Dwarka or Ayodhya. See, one can offer some boga, ring a bell. But the sakhas, you see what they do? They eat something, this is very nice. They eat half the sweet and put the other half in Krishna's mouth. This is whatever they are, they don't think, oh, is this sweet, is this chili, is this sour. So first they eat something and then they feed Krishna. And then this priti of Raj, which is full of so much rasa, cannot be had anywhere else. So then they say, don't want to leave Prabhu also. Don't want to go far away from him. But Gargacharya, he had to be respected and Bhagavan's leelas had to take place. So therefore, at that time, he said, once there was one king of this Raghuvansh. He was a Suryavanshi from the Sun dynasty. He said that you have a rule, there are as many Brahman devas or Rishi Maharshis are there, you should not disrespect them, disobey them, you worship them nicely. Similarly, in the one, everyone will be served. Shri Mata, without serving the sadhus, she will not do anything else. So they say, they appeared, this king came before this Rahukul. So there, all the Rishi Maharshi sadhus would come to his door. And he would every day feed them. And during Chaturmasya, Rishi said, oh Maharaj, we have made our residence there on the bank of the river Sarayu. Put some hut made of leaves in there, we'll follow Chaturmasya Vrat and do Tikrita and Yagya and things. Then Maharaj said, all right, it's my great fortune. I'll make all arrangements for your visal. Then he said, if you want to arrange something, then you know that Chaturmasya, we only eat once. In evening, when the yoga ends, then you go bed, then serve you, then chandrani, and then for one time, we eat only once, this Havishanna. Means this fruits and roots, very simple food. Like this, all these roots and this, you boil them. So you accept something only once. This remnants of Bhagavan. This is called Havishanna. So then there are many Rishi Maharshis. So they arranged Vishamachal, Dudh, milk, ghee, and then make kheer, fruits and roots, everything would be made, all arrangements. Meanwhile, one Brahmin, he came. And he said, oh Maharaj, I want to serve you selflessly. Just give me service, the Rishi Maharshi. I'll cook for them every day. Take their plates away and then make all arrangements for this. Washing pots, distributing everything. I'll do everything. Just kindly accept me. So I said, all right, you're a Brahmin. You want to serve? So he asked Rishi Maharshi. So he asks, if you accept this boy in Seva, then I'll give this. So meanwhile, the Rishis, they're impartial. They said, oh king, you know what to do best, more than even us. But just make sure nothing bad happens. So he was a demon. He had appeared as a Brahmin. And what did he do? When everything was cooked, then he made all these fruits and roots on one day. And then another day, he made meat. And when the Rishi Maharshis and just sat on these leaves, then they heard a voice from the sky, don't eat anything here. Everything here has been mixed with meat. It was mass. Mass just mean doesn't mean only the flesh and meat of animals, no. Mass means just not eat urdal, parmal, loki, sarsutil, masasid oil. All these things, you know, it's not eaten. Carrots, beans. So they say, you should not eat these different kinds of shark during these 4 months. Or these drumsticks. So they say they're all mixed with meat. So say, what did he do? He made shark and he made everything, but then he mixed meat with it, pieces of meat. And they said, hey, don't eat that. It's mixed with meat. And everyone's got up and they left. And then he ran away after distributing everything. Now he'd become big sevak, but he ran away. Then Maharaj, he came. The Rishi Maharshis, they told Maharaj what happened. Some Rishis are in the mode of passion. They said, oh Maharaj, oh, what have you done? You've engaged demons in seva. You want to pull you to our rat. And some people not even educated. They say, such people should not be engaged in Rishi Maharshi seva. They will never realize the true value. First, give nice advice. Since he became a demon, and then she's left because they cursed him, saying, you're trying to feed his meat. But his wife, she performed austerities for so many years and she pleased him. Then he said, alright. He said, he will be delivered after years. And it's also a huge lila, huge pastime. Therefore, they said, so you don't know from where he has come, which particular circumstances does he come from. So Guruji would say, first he would send them first to temple, or sometimes to the kitchen for cooking. Sometimes they say, oh, I've taken diksha now, I want to go into the kitchen. Then Guruji said, no, you will not go into the kitchen. He said, no, I have to go. I've taken diksha now. He said, no, I want to go in the temple. He said, no. He said, no, you do seva and you wash baths. He said, no. Once, there was an Acharya of Chaitanya Bhakti Kusam Shraman Goswami Maharaj. Once there was one person, one big scholar from Kolkata. He was very nice. He used to have a high paying job. Tell him, Maharaj, I come to the temple. Now I'm going to be Brahmachari, so you kindly give me Diksha. So I'll give you Diksha. Every day you must wash baths and you must clean everything and then I'll give you Diksha. He said, how can I do all these things? Oh, I have so many people working under me and how can I sweep the floor and wash the baths? Oh, I cannot do this. And he said, you go away from here. Then after some years, after like 15-20 years, they came to Howrah station, some devotees, and there they saw there was one person, tall person, he was carrying a broom on his shoulder. And then he was sweeping the platforms on the railway station there. Why? Because he did not listen to Guru then. And then now he lost everything now. Harishchandra became, like you see, this gatekeeper of this cemetery. See, Harishchandra was king and now he was burning bodies there in the cemetery. So Maharaj was going there. He said, you had come once to Chaitanya Math. Then he stood there. He said, oh Guruji, I didn't listen to you. You see, I had to suffer so much now. Now I wish. Now you see, I'm sweeping here. Now I'm for free, I'm sweeping all these platforms now. And if someone gives you 1 or 2 paisa, then I just stay here in this platform. No, I don't have anything. I just stay in the railway station. No, he said, at least now we come to the temple. You do seva there. There you'll have everything. You're leaving aside Bhagavan's seva. You're thinking, oh, how can I see, how can I wash paths? How I want to be the pujari? Oh, I want to go in the kitchen and cooking there, but then I'll be respected so much. When we came to the temple, Guruji would tell us, if you want to do matwas, then you'll have to wash the pots every day. And you'll have to sweep the floor. In Odisha, some sevak, he came from Odisha. So the manager of the temple, he said, there's so many stairs there, just sweep the stairs. Because there's so much dust coming, so many vehicles are going on the road. Because then there was a main road there. At that time, all the vehicles would go to Agra from there. Then the bypass was made after some time. So I told him, you just make sure you wipe the stairs. See, morning, evening, just sweep the floor and the stairs. And the manager asked him, why didn't you sweep the stairs? It was so dusty. He said, oh, no, I don't have strength anymore. He said, seven times you've swept the stairs. He said, not in once you've swept. He said, oh. In Odia, he was saying that I went to pass seven times. Means I went and passed all seven times. And now you're telling me to sweep the... So this way he told the manager that you told me to sweep the stairs, but I thought you went and told me to pass. So this way I passed all seven times now, he said. Then he said, I told you to sweep the stairs, but instead that you're doing this. Then he said, oh, I have diarrhea, what to do? Then he said, seven times you told me to sweep the stairs. Because in Odia, it means they go to the bathroom. So he said, I've gone to the bathroom following instructions, so now I have no strength in my body now. Because there was some misunderstanding in language. You see, in this way, in one language you say something, in another language they mistake something else. They take something else. So there's always some miscommunication according to one's language. So he said, you don't listen to me? He said, no, I'll not stay in the temple. No, I'll leave. He said, oh, you see, wherever you leave, your karma will go with you. In the temple, your karma can be stopped, but this karma will go wherever you go. You'll never know where your karma will take you then. See, once one is the king, then now he's again become a street beggar. Before Gurudev would say, even if one does little seva in the temple, then Prabhu, he is saying, he gets word. How he's doing seva? Saying, oh, he's not doing. Here he's doing Bhagavan seva. One should not think that the pujari, he has so much respect. See, the pujari and the storekeeper, they always fall down very quickly. But you see, one ordinary sevak, he has everyone's mercy. In Mathura, you see, I had washed so many pots that my fingers almost melted away. Because that time there was no soap. That time we had to take these ashes. And these ashes, after burning wood and konang parties, take these ashes and use the ashes to wash pots. And also the water was very salty. And sometimes it was so cold, 11 and 12 in the night. And then we had to wash pots, or else we don't have pots. Then how can we offer bhoga in the morning? So there we had to wash these pots there. And make sure we don't make any sound there, because Gurudev is resting. So one day I tied a cloth around the tap and I was washing all the pots, making sure the water was dripping very slowly or else Maharaj would wake up. Then I saw, it was very cold. Then I saw Maharaj, he was sitting behind me, standing, and he called the manager. And the manager also is very aged, 60 years old. So then I could not see anything also. So then Maharaj and the manager, they were also washing pots along with me. Then I was saying, who's washing pots along with me in this darkness, pitch black darkness? And then I looked behind and I saw it was Gurudev. And Gurudev was saying, all the others were sleeping and snoring. No, they were thinking this is not Bhagavan's seva. Then you see what will become of them. Once Kartik Parikrama was going on, Then Maharaj was going with everyone there. Then my Guru Maharaj also come there. That time also we had a kitchen on the roof. 7 to the bazaar, I was cutting vegetables. And then there was a small place, sitting place near me. There I saw someone was making some sound. It was an open roof. So I was thinking maybe some monkey has come. But there I saw my Guru Maharaj also cutting vegetables with me. And I said, oh, my Guru Maharaj also cutting vegetables. Because that day had not gone on parikrama. I should say, all the seva of Bhagwan. They never think of it as insignificant. From my own eyes I have seen. I'm not being proud. So see our Guru Vargar. They do everything. This is during this Makar Sankranti. Then Maharaj would call all the brahmacharis. All of you will go on Bhiksha. So who will cook for Thakurji? I'll cook, he said. At that time, he was more than 8 years old. Nearly 8 years old. So, no, sir, Maharaj, you cannot cook. I'll cook and then I'll go on Bhiksha and I'll come back by 3 o'clock. He said, no. He said, you also go today. You also go on Bhiksha today. See, the Brahmachari should not sit. He doesn't do Bhiksha. He doesn't give Guru Dakshina. He doesn't do Guru Seva. Then your mantra will never bear fruit. Krishna and Baldev, they themselves went on Bhiksha. And they gave him Sandipani Muni. So we go there. We go almost every day. Because then I do all my seva and then go. Then Maharaji came there and said, no, go. He said, I'll cook now. He said, oh, it's such a big pot, so you cannot cook. You have to bring water. You know, everything is nicely decorated here. But that time there was only little jeera. That also had to be hidden away. That time there was only like 150 grams of oil. And the 150 grams of oil should be used in the morning and evening for cooking. Even if 50 people, even if cooking would be done 50 or 100 people, still 100 grams of oil could be used. That's it, not more than that. And brahmacharis also had to save that oil because they had to make pakodis from there, alu bhaja, something. So then Maharaj, anyhow, he said, all of you go. All of you go on Bhiksha. So then Maharaj, he called the manager, Dharmashala manager. This is God brother, Kunji Bihari Prabhu. So they didn't know where there was in Mathura, there's only salty water. And you see, the dal can never be cooked in salty water. Rice will not boil in salty water. So they cooked everything in salty water. And then after there I came at 10 o'clock. I finished like one round of my Bhiksha and I emptied in the temple. I have to go to another place then. And then I saw that they're cooking, trying to cook, and the dal is still not cooked yet because it's cooked in salty water. And then I could not say anything also because they're very senior. And I was thinking what to do. And the rice was also there. Salt, everything was there. And everything wasn't being cooked nicely because salty. But then I didn't say anything. Then I lit another stove. Then I again cooked 3 or 4 items. And then I went on Bhiksha. And I returned again at 3 in the afternoon. But still, you see, everything was still being cooked. And rice had become like stones, rice and dal. It hadn't been cooked yet. Then Maharaj said, oh, you know some black magic, huh? Because you know some black magic. Because you're a Bengali, you know black magic. Because Maharaj and his godbrothers were Hindustanis. Maharaj is from Bihar and Kunj Bihari Prabhu was from Uttarakhand, this mountainous region. And he said, surely you've done something. That is, why is this rice and dal not boiling? 5-6 hours we're trying to boil this rice and dal. And salty water. Because how can anything be cooked in salty water? I said, oh, today Thakurji has performed nicely. So then Maharaj and the manager, they just took some water and put it in the fire pit and they left. Then the brahmacharis, they came, then quickly we did something. We offered bhoga. Then they said, now how come it's boiled, the rice and dal? Because then we had hidden that other the other unboiled rice and dal somewhere else. So say Guru Vaishnavas, they know everything. Once during Kartik, once called me in morning, 8 or 9 in the morning. So he said, today you make kheer for Thakurji. Then I said, all right. So I'll make more kheer today. Many devotees are there. But then when I came there, so then there were some devotees. Then they would tell me many things. Because I wouldn't say anything to them, because my position is just a servant. So whatever, just tell me everything, I just listen. He said, today don't make kheer. Today you bring rabdi and you make rasgullas. We'll give you money, just buy something from the shop. Every day we're eating kheer. Today is a nice tithi. So bring all these sweets today. Then I said, no, Guruji told me to make kheer. He said, oh, every day kheer is being made. So today we'll get rabdi and rasgulla from the sweets, from the sweet shop. And then they say, I bought all the sweets. We offered boga. And this prasadi, when the plate went to Gurudev, then Gurudev, he saw all the pots there. Then he said, there was no kheer. Then he called me. He said, I told you to make kheer. So then he said, they told me not to make kheer. They said, still get rabdi and rasgullas. We'll give you. And Gurudev, he started shouting. And then he sat on the cot. He said, they are they your guru? Or are you under their shelter or my shelter? You haven't understood my words and you're not following. No, I don't want to take prasad. No, Gurudev was upset. Because the seva they're doing, they're absorbed in the lila. They know everything. We are conditioned souls, what can we know? What they're thinking, what they're doing. Then this Bhoga was offered, temple was closed. There was some milk. Guru were always doing Nitya Mansi Seva, offering Bhoga, so they know what to offer. So then meanwhile, when Bhakta came from Vrindavan, he bought some kheer and then he offered some boga to Thakurji and he bought this kheer. He came to Gurudev. Because Gurudev, he had disciples everywhere. No one would come empty-handed to see him. Everyone brings something or the other. Maharaj would like dal pudi, parota, chutney, kashi phal sabji, pakodi. No one would come empty-handed. Whatever boga they'd offer, they bring to Gurudev. So he had bought kheer, one devotee from Vrindavan to Mathura. He told Gurudev, today in my dream I saw that you ordered me to make kheer for Thakurji today. So I made kheer today, now you take a little of this kheer. See, then you see Thakurji's lila. Here Gurudev told me, I didn't make kheer, I disobeyed. But on the other side, you see, he inspired someone else to make kheer. Then he called me, saying, come here. Then he put this kheer inside my hand. I said, where did this kheer come from? Then he said, if you will not make, will others not make then? And I was crying so much. And he said, Guru Agya Avicharni. You'll have to listen. What do I say? Because if you listen to the others, then they will be ruined. What Guruji says, you'll have to follow. Then you'll achieve your auspiciousness. So then for that little kheer, he made like a small pot of kheer. And Gurudev, by 3 o'clock also no one eaten anything. Everyone was standing there. Because Maharaj had not taken prasad, so who'll eat? There was no one like that who just eat before Gurudev. That go to the hotel and the dhaba and go eat something. This we know and had even thought of like this before. And Gurudev, he gave that kheer to, and then in the evening he came for katha. And then that day the prasad was cooked remained as it is. And then in the evening again cooking was done. So and then since then we never did anything that would be opposed to him. Even now whatever is happening, I pray, I ask for permission. And then according to his desire, inspiration, I do. Some say something to me, but I listen. But as long as his desire is not there, I never do. Even I become hungry and starve. Because the words of Sadhu, Santa, not different from Bhagavan. I want to do something different, then how will we do? Will we ruin? And we ruin in a very horrible way. Or else, in Navadvip, there should be big festivals. And so many, once in Mathura, during Kartik, kheer was made. And then there are some children, very strong, what did they do? Said, Gurudev told me to do seva. They said, alright, go. There was this big steel container of kheer. Time. They made like so much kheer. And they said, we'll take this kheer. And as they bring this kheer out, they slipped. And then they went and fell inside this big pot of kheer. And this kheer was like burning hot. The kheer was condensed, not like and his entire body was burnt by this kheer. His body was inside this kheer, no. So then Maharaj, he came there and he took him to the hospital. So then anyhow cutting his flesh, and anyhow he survived. But in the end, he could not stay in the temple because he of his burns. So what do Guru Varga say? What they want? So if you pray there to those who are near to them, then you should speak, try to be patient, listen. My Guru Maharaj should say that be patient. Gradually everything will be done. Don't be impatient, hasty, clumsy. Or else. Also, I want to be. I don't want to be behind. Because I only want to do those services that Guruji will see. Then he'll praise me, oh, he's doing so much. I won't do the ones that he doesn't see. But he's Antaryami, he knows everything. So therefore, Santavani is Guru. Bhagavani is very auspicious for us. Now we listen tomorrow.